Well, this morning, we're going to look at this idea of saved or born again. I mentioned it last week in my message, and so we're going to look at that in detail this morning. Saved or born again? What do you think? Are you saved or are you born again? It's an interesting question. What do we mean by these two terms? Are they the same thing? If someone says I'm saved or someone says I'm born again, is it the same thing or is it something different? Are they talking about two different things or the same things? Have you been saved or have you been born again? That's the question. I think there's actually less difference in these two terms than we might think there is. But the impact to how we live based on our understanding of these terms is huge. Saved, that word saved from the Merriam-Webster dictionary, the definition is set aside, stored or preserved for later use. Or in a religious sense, it says delivered from sin and death, rescued from eternal punishment. So I would say that is what most would call being a Christian. That version of saved. We're forgiven of our sin and therefore saved from eternal punishment, so we will spend eternity in heaven when we die. That would be what it means to be a Christian, that most of us would say, that most Christians would say when they say I'm saved, or they're evangelizing and they tell someone you need to be saved, that's what they're referring to. Is that what you would tell someone when you evangelize people, when you spread the gospel? Is that what you tell people? Is that the reason that you give that they need Jesus? That they need to be forgiven and go to heaven when they die? Is that the benefit that you give to becoming a Christian? These are questions that we need to think about, that we need to wrestle with and understand. So this message is called Born Again, and we're going to be in John chapter 3, if you have your Bibles or your phones, whatever you're using, John chapter 3. If we don't really know what it means, if we don't really know what we're referring to, how do we tell others what it means? How do we tell someone else what salvation is or how to achieve salvation in their life? If we don't know what it changes in our life, then how do we live according to the new changes? How do we tell the world the amazing news of Jesus if we don't fully know the amazing news of Jesus? These are questions that we should consider and that we should look at and that we should understand. So John chapter 3, starting in verse 1, reads, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. As always, we declare that it is truth. It is final authority. We will live by it. We will allow it to mold us and shape us and change us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, into this room and for all those watching live into their places where they're watching this. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to minister to every heart and to every mind, to teach us your ways. Show us your love and make us like you, Jesus. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you do among us what only you can do and that your words and your message come forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we have an interesting exchange here between a man named Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, it tells us. Now, Pharisees followed the law. They followed the law strictly. They knew the Torah, which is the five book. They knew the Torah, and they knew it well. They probably had actually all of it memorized from heart. They also, though, what made the Pharisees different was they would allow oral traditions to hold the same weight as the law. So traditions passed down by word of mouth from families and fathers, those traditions, they could hold the same weight as the law. So one thing would be if the law says that you cannot on the Sabbath carry a weight or a burden, then the Pharisees would look at that and they wouldn't carry a weight or a burden on the Sabbath, but they'd also look at, well, so what happens to carrying a child? Because a child is a weight. Can you carry a child on the Sabbath? This was the Pharisees. They knew the word. They knew the law, but they also added in all these other things to the law, probably originally with an intent to really serve God, probably originally with an intent to really become holy and like him and please him, but it got so carried away and it became so much about the word and so much instead of the heart of the word. It became so much about the law and rules and regulations, and they lost the heart of it all. They lost the heart of everything. They knew the word as revealed at that time. They could quote it. They could probably memorize. They had it memorized. They esteemed it highly. But they were missing completely God's heart behind the word. They didn't really know the God whose word it was. They ended up making the word of God burdensome to the people instead of liberating and freeing to the people. So Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was also a leader. He was a leader among the Pharisees. His word held weight. He had a position of authority. He was a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin, which was a leadership group. And even among them, most think that he was a leader among the Sanhedrin. And he comes to Jesus because he's been hearing some of Jesus' teaching. He's seen what Jesus is doing. He's hearing all this commotion about this Jesus. He's curious. What's going on here? Who is this guy? He's intrigued by the message and the miracles and the signs. And that's even what he starts with. He says, "We know that you are a teacher come from God. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." But he's also stirred in his heart that there's more, and probably a little disturbed. Because what Jesus is teaching isn't the law. And what Jesus is teaching is going against their traditions that they've held. He's a little annoyed by what Jesus is doing. He's a little worried about where this is all going to lead and what this Jesus is going to do to their religion. So he comes by night. Maybe so he's not seen. Maybe so others don't know. Maybe because Jesus is too busy in the day. Who knows? But he comes at night. And he tells them that he knows he's from God. But Jesus immediately says to Nicodemus, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And now Nicodemus, because they're taking this word literally, they're looking at the law and they're trying to adapt it into all these different ways, he takes this from a literal human point of view. Like the Pharisees viewed all of God's word, like the religious of our day view all of God's word. They can quote it. A lot of people can quote this word, but they don't know the God behind it. A lot of people can quote all kinds of scripture, but they're missing God's heart behind the word that they're quoting. This is Nicodemus. He's confused. How can a man be born again? Like, come on, you're talking nonsense. This is silly. But he should have known, knowing the word, that God's plan and his purpose and his goal was to change us. It's always been his purpose and plan is to remake us and make us new and give us a new heart. He should have known that God's plan was to transform us. He would have known Ezekiel 36. If we read that, verses 25 and through 27 says, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." He should have known that. Jesus said in verse 7, "Don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." He should have known these things. He would have known that verse. God is going to wash you clean. God is going to cleanse you from all filthiness and idols. And remember, that word cleanse doesn't mean cover over. It means wash away, as if it was never there. A new heart and a new spirit. God will put his spirit within you. But Nicodemus couldn't see any of that. All that he could see was a literal, man-made, legalistic law view. And so because of this, the message that Jesus gives Nicodemus causes him nothing but confusion and more trouble and more worrying and more stress. We never do fully get the response of Nicodemus to this word from Jesus. We never really do. We see that Nicodemus is still in the picture at the death of Christ, so that's promising. He brings, you know, spices and the things that they would use to bury the dead. So he's still there. He's still following to some point. Hopefully he was born again, but we don't get that response. We don't know if he ever was born again. We, however, you and me, we get to choose our response. We get to choose. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus says, "most assuredly." He says that twice in this little 8 verses. If Jesus says, "most assuredly," we should be listening. Most assuredly, this isn't just some casual thing Jesus is saying. This isn't just something to fill the quietness of their conversation. It's not just a random saying. He's being serious. This is not a joke. He's saying this to someone who could quote more scripture than most could quote. He's saying this to someone leading the church at the time. This is serious. Born again, or born anew, some translations, is literally translated born from above. That's the literal translation, born from above. Barclay gives us this description. He says, "To be born anew is to undergo such a radical change that it is like a new birth. It is to have something happen to the soul which can only be described as being born all over again. And the whole process is not a human achievement because it comes from the grace and the power of God." So I ask the question, is that what we mean by saved? Is that our definition? Or is it simply we said a prayer 60 years ago and we come to church on Sunday? So when we die, we go to heaven. What do we mean by saved? When we say that we've been saved by Christ, is that what we mean? Being saved and being born is being born again. It's undergoing such a radical change that it's like a new birth. Have something happen to the soul which can only be described as being born all over again, and the whole process is not anything of us. It's not a human achievement. It comes from the grace and the power of God. Is that what we mean by saved? I fear that for the church in general, saved has come to mean I said a prayer, so I go to heaven when I die, and you'll be seeing me in church on Sunday. But being born again, what Jesus came to accomplish, what the entire New Testament teaches, is far more than that. It includes that, but it's far more. We are to be made new, transformed into something that we weren't before. Born again from above. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. "You who were dead in trespasses and sins have been made alive in Christ Jesus." Dead in trespasses and sins, alive in Christ Jesus. That's something different. That's something you weren't there before. Galatians 6:15, "In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." In Christ Jesus. The outside things, what we're doing or not doing, or all are good, all are bad, or tick boxes of whatever, those don't avail anything. It's being a new creation in Christ Jesus. But it's a new creation. It doesn't say you're in Christ Jesus and not much happens and it's really quite boring and you just kind of do whatever until you die and then you go to heaven. That's not what it says. It says you're a new creation. And then there's one that we quote often and many of us might know, but let's listen to what it actually is saying. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That's a pretty incredible verse if we listen to what it's saying. Behold, that word means check it out. Gaze upon it. Relish in the beauty of it. All things have become new. Check it out. Gaze upon the beauty of that statement. Old things have passed away. All your old life, that old you, the mistakes you made, the sins you did, your way of life, your lifestyle, your upbringing, what you believe to be true from all of that nonsense, that's new. All things have become new. That word new means new. It means unused. It means fresh. It means novel. Something different than it was before. We cannot be born again and be who we were before. That's something that doesn't exist. We cannot be the same we were before we got saved and say we're saved. That reality doesn't exist. It doesn't mean everything changes at once. Life's a process. We change different. Don't hear or say what I'm not saying. But there must be change if we're born again. If old things have passed and all has become new, there must be something different. And then John 1, just before our verse today, verses 12 and 13, he says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of man, but of God." Born again. So then many will say here, well, come on, Scripture says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, we will be saved. That's all we have to do. That's all we have to worry about. That's true. Scripture says that, and it is absolutely true. The issue is, what do you mean by saved? Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. But what does saved mean? That's the issue. No one's arguing how you get saved. We're just trying to define what it means that we are saved. In being saved, you are really born again. Not of the flesh, not of human doing, but of the Spirit. It's a spiritual birth that happens. Our spirit is dead. Physically, we're alive. It's like the Good Samaritan. If you haven't, you can go and listen to that message. That message is much more than somebody helping a hurt person on the side of the road. It's Jesus saving us. We are spiritually dead, physically alive. And unless we become spiritually alive, when the body dies, we're done on this earth, and there is no eternity in heaven. There's only two options. There's heaven and there's hell. That's a reality. It's not popular. People don't like to hear it. Social media doesn't want you to say it, but it's reality. The Holy Spirit, if you're born again, is now inside of you. He is there to transform you, not just to hang out. He is there to renew your mind, not to be forgotten about. He is there to make you like Jesus. That's why he's in you. So that you can do the things Jesus did and even greater things. I don't think many would argue that being a Christian means that you follow Jesus. I think we would all agree on that. That is essentially what the word Christian, it means little Christ-like ones. It means like we're following Jesus to become like him. We're trying to become like Jesus, like Christ. But what does Jesus himself say that it is to follow after him? Well, in Matthew 16 and 24, he says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." There's a lot of statements in this morning's message that we don't like. That doesn't sound good. Really, if we're honest, you know, we love that verse. But do we like that? Really? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Who? Deny who? Himself. Yourself. Myself. The old self. The one we were before we got born again. The first birth. The one who's attached to the world. Deny him. We know from our journey that we just took through 1 John that the world to John means the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life. That man, deny him. Deny the lusts. Deny the pride. Deny our entitlements, that I'm entitled to something. Deny the rights and privileges that we seem to have so many of. Our opinions that we've come up with. Our selfishness. Deny that self. Pick up the cross and follow Jesus as a new birth in a new creation. But many will say, angry is just who I am. No, it's not. Lust, it's just a part of me. No, it's not. I've always been full of pride. It's just who I am. No, it's not. We hear all kinds of variations. You fill in the blank. I was born this way. This is just who I am. This is my family trait. I can't help it. This is my upbringing. This is how I was taught. This is how I was raised. This is just how I feel. This is my true self. People say, but I was born this way. It's just who I am. Jesus looks at them and says, you must be born again. I'll say that again. We look at Jesus and say, and we look at people and say, this is who I am. I was born this way. Jesus says, you must be born again. This whole idea of being saved doesn't really fit with our shallow idea often of being saved. Virtually every time that you read the word saved in the New Testament, it is the Greek word sozo. S-O-Z-O, sozo. Sozo is used in the New Testament over 100 times. Sozo means to save. That's why it's translated that way. It means to deliver. It means to make whole, to restore, to heal, and to be whole. That is what that word means. It is referred to as the full package of salvation. Salvation, healing, deliverance, and wholeness. So when we say that we've been saved, that's saved. Born again is something to celebrate. If we think that being saved means our sins forgiven, and then when we die we go to heaven, that's a pretty boring life, but heaven will be awesome. Life sucks and then you die, but hey, you get to go to heaven. That's how a lot of Christians live their life. It's a reality. That's not how we should live our life. That's not the view of saved that we should have, because that's not what Scripture teaches. Born again, saved, is something to celebrate. Romans 10:9, the one we talked about. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be sozo, saved. Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to sozo, save what was lost. Matthew 9, 22, Jesus turned and seeing her said, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you sozo. And the woman was healed at that moment. Luke 8, 36, and those who had seen it reported to them how the demon-possessed man had been sozo. It's the same word every time. Saved. In Christ, you have been saved. Sozo. In your salvation, you were born again. From above. Made new. The old gone, the old you, the one with all those issues, all the things that happened to you that shouldn't have happened to you, all the things you did that you shouldn't have done, that old you, it's gone. Those bad habits, they're no longer who you are. Those sins are cleansed, not just covered. Your eternity is in heaven. Your body is made whole, well, healed. Your chains, broken. So I ask again, have you been saved or born again? As long as you know what you're referring to, it maybe doesn't matter which term you use, saved or born again. But what does matter is, what do you mean by that? You've been saved. What does that mean? When you tell someone they need to get saved, what does that mean for them? I think it's fitting that we look at praying a prayer. It's not a magic prayer. It's not a magic pill. It's not anything magic at all. But it is a prayer that confesses with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believes in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Like Romans 10:9 tells us that if we do that, we will be saved, sozo. It's a prayer that will change your life to be born again from above. Our part's just to live in the new reality. Our behavior will change. That's why we talk about our behavior changing. That's why we talk about stopping certain things and starting certain things. Not because it gets us saved, not because it makes God love us more, but because it helps us to walk into this new life, this new creation that we are. That's why they matter. They don't get us saved. They don't make God love us more. But they're who we are as a new creation. We should walk in them. So I ask that everyone bows their head and closes their eyes. You watching live, wherever you are, if you just bow your head and close your eyes. We're going to pray this prayer that makes us born again from above. Changes everything about us. Once we pray this prayer, that old you is no longer you. It's passed away. And you've become new. Let's pray. Just repeat after me. Father, I confess I have sinned. I need a Savior. I ask you to forgive me. Cleanse me and wash me clean. I declare that Jesus is Lord. He died on a cross. And he rose from a grave. Come and be Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, come and make me born again. Fill me with your presence and help me walk in this new creation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That is not a magic prayer, but words are powerful, and that is your first step into this new creation life. From here on, we walk like Jesus. We become like him. We allow the new creation that we are to live out of the Spirit within us. No longer the old man in the lusts of the flesh and the eyes and the prides of life. You are new. You are victorious in Christ. You are more than an overcomer. You are not what you once were, and something to celebrate. That's something to be excited about. And something to tell others about. Let's just make sure we're telling them the whole story. Let's live born anew from above. New creations. Let's let go of our shallow, saved life and live born again. New creations in our sozo life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and your goodness in our life. We declare that you are Lord. We declare that you raised Christ from the dead. We declare that he lived and he died for us on that cross. And that in his death and his resurrection and the blood that he shed, we are cleansed of sin. We are made new creations. We are not just saved to be reserved for later. We are not just saved to sit around until we die and go to heaven. We are made new creations, born again. We are not who we once were. We are something different than before. We leave that old us behind. We deny that self. And we pick up our cross and we follow Jesus. We desire to become like him. We desire to do the things he did. And even greater things. We thank you for saved sozo in our life. Salvation, healing, deliverance, and wholeness. You are King, Lord. Come and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.